Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. Once again, this is Pastor Holmes, your host, as we come together again through the study of the Word of God. We thank the Lord for your presence, my listening audience. I would encourage you to encourage me by writing in, calling in, just dropping a line and just saying how much you may appreciate the work I am trying to do for the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are now in a new study. Last week we opened the book of Acts, and we'll be traveling through the book of Acts because I believe that the book of Acts is the firebrand that can cause the spark of revival to take place first in our hearts, then in our churches, and then in our communities, and prayerfully to the uttermost parts of the earth. The church, in my opinion, needs to recapture its love and its purpose for the Lord. But as always, let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, once again, we thank you, O Lord, for allowing us to come together in your presence for the study of your word. We pray now, O Lord, that your word will go forth and as you promised, will never return unto you void. Father, accomplish that which you would have us to do. Touch us now, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct our paths. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, last week we left off about verse 8, and I'll reread that verse, that eighth verse. Because the book of Acts is such a great and awesome book. The more I study it, and the more I love it. And it just reinvigorates my heart for the things that God would have his church to do. And it puts a burden on me because I know that we're not always doing all that we should do or could do for our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus had just given that statement to the apostles because they were concerned about when the nation, the kingdom of Israel, would be restored again. And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power," but then he gave this promise in verse 8. But I need to just digress for a moment and give us some other special factors about this book that we are studying right now. And again, I want to mention that many of my notes will be coming from the Faith Bible Institute, which we are the host site here in Phoenix, Arizona, the founder, Pastor John Yates of Louisiana. Amen. There's some special features or the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in his church. That's what Acts shows us, how the Lord Jesus Christ is working in his church, how the Holy Spirit of God at work empowering the church. Some like to entitle the book "The Acts of the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles." It is also the prominence of the power and the purity of the early church. And that's sometimes, I guess, what really kind of just grips me is the power and the purity of the church. I know our God never changes, but yet and still, we don't seem to see the same power and the purity that the early church did. I would love as a preacher to be able to preach a sermon and see 3,000 souls come to the Lord. It also has the prominence and the purpose of the resurrection in the center and the heart of the gospel preaching in the book. So the resurrection is the key point of the book of Acts, if you will. It also edifies Paul and Peter, as Peter was to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles. And it brings about some 24 sermons or speeches. Now, Acts records three significant conversions in it. First, we have the conversion of the eunuch. Now, this is something I had learned and I wasn't even aware of because I didn't always do that ancestry type of study. But the eunuch is a descendant of Ham, Saul is a descendant of Shem, and Cornelius is a descendant of Japheth. And we know those are the three sons of Noah. Acts records four significant firsts also. We find that Acts gives us the record of the first deacons. Acts gives us the record of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And Acts gives us the record of the first apostolic martyr, which is James. And it gives us the first missionary journeys. Now, our main characters are basically Peter, Paul, John, Stephen, Philip, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Now, the overview of Acts centers around three great crusades as initialized here in this eighth verse. It is the obeying of the local commission, the witnesses in Jerusalem, and that's Acts chapter 1 through 7. The obeying of the regional commission, the witnessing in Judea and Samaria, Acts chapters 8 and 9, and obeying the global commission, which is the witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, Acts chapters 10 through the end of 28. Amen? Amen. Let's read on. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, that is encouraging news, because I want you to understand again that he is coming again. And I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about the time that Jesus is going to return. Amen. Amen. So we see now the ascension and commission of Christ in this first chapter. And we also see that Luke is writing this second thesis to Theophilus, which I have mentioned in the first week of the study. And Luke speaks that he's writing about of all that Jesus began to both do and to teach. Now we see that Jesus has ascended into heaven, and this word here, he has commissioned the apostles, and the word apostle means authorized messengers. And Luke speaks of the many infallible proofs of the resurrection ministry of Christ in verse 3. There were over 10 resurrection appearances to over 500 people, plus the indisputable and explicable fact of the empty tomb. We have a religion that has a risen God. Many other religions out there are still waiting for the gods to show up. They don't know where they are, but we serve a risen Savior, and he has been witnessed by over 500 people that he was risen from the grave. The empty tomb is the fact that we base our faith off. Jesus commands his apostles to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. That this promise is a reference to the arrival of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament ministry at Pentecost, because we must remind ourselves that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came down upon people for a special work or a special task. And then if they sinned, the Spirit would be removed from them, or when the task was completed, the Spirit was removed from them. But in this New Testament, upon when we get to the point where the Holy Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, we now realize that now the Holy Spirit is permanently indwelling those believers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells me. And in fact, many times it overcomes me and overwhelms me. Because think about this for a moment, and I say this all the time at Shiloh. The very power that created the entire universe now dwells within us. And because of that fact, I realize that I am not doing all that I could do, because I have not yielded myself all that I should have yielded myself. And as I yield myself through the study of his word and willfully doing what God would have me to do, then the power that is in me makes me capable of doing what God would have me to do. And his church is to be the change agent of the world. No one would believe in God unless they really see our transformed lives. When I act just the way the world acts, then why would the world want to be part of what I'm part of? Because all they would see is a religious activity which they have no time for or use for. But when we are changed by the presence and the power of God, and they see the transformation that has taken place in our lives, when they can witness these things, then God is able to draw them unto himself, because the Holy Spirit now, his ministry to the unsaved is to convict them of their sin. His ministry to the saved is to teach us and to grow us in grace. But yet and still, when they can see the power of God working in my life and in your life, then we know that they will know that God is real, because so many times God has been being presented by different denominations as a religious, active philosophy. when people are drawn into a true living relationship with God. God has to be just as real as that physical person we see in our hearts for him to really, for us, I should say, to really have that experience of the true and living God. Let me begin again at verse 12. And then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the brother of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Now, I have been under great conviction, and I just want to share this with you, about this upper room experience. When we look through the Gospel of Luke, there are so many verses in there that pertain to prayer. And it is my mission now to get our churches to become houses of prayer like Jesus declared them to be. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. So when we realize that here, this 120 that had witnessed the resurrection, they were all up in a room now, becoming on one accord. And I'm looking at the clock because I'm not going to be able to fully develop this theme, so I'm going to have to come back to it next week again. But I want you to just focus in on the upper room experience, how they were there for one on one accord, how they were praying on one accord, how they were seeking God on one accord. I just can't let that go. I just can't get rid of that, because I think if our churches were to get on one accord to seek God for what God would have us to do, how we could change the world. Well, my brothers and sisters, it is time for me to bring this program to a close. Once again, please pray for me as I pray for you. I'd love to hear from you. Please write, email, call, but above all, lift me in prayer that I might accomplish that which Jesus would have me do. Have a blessed worship service, and please tune in again next week. God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.